You've heard it all your life, and not just from your mother, although you probably did hear it from your mother. You have such a great voice. Did you ever think of doing voiceover? Let's demystify this fun, flexible industry here on the VoiceOver Pod with Justine Reese, brought to you by Such a Voice. I'm Justine, and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes or so, where we will talk to people that have sat in your shoes and then became successful in the voiceover industry. We will talk to people who hire voiceover talent. We'll talk about recording, sound, auditioning, casting. We're going to share some stories. We're going to share some secrets. And then, who knows, you may be my next guest. Well, hello, and welcome back to the VoiceOver Pod, hosted by Justine Reese, with my lovely guest and friend today, Maureen Muldoon. So excited to have you.
Great to be here. I'm so excited to be here with you. You too. Big fan of you.
I'm a big fan of you, and I'm going to give a very brief introduction, and then you can elaborate. So Maureen is an international speaker, writer, storyteller, and songbird who believes in the miraculous power of storytelling for healing and transformation. And you can say this next part. Tell us about a little bit of what where you came from, because I know that you started out, probably before this there was something else, but as an actress and used to live in Los Angeles, where I think our paths crossed, but our paths crossed much more efficiently, I should say, online later in life. So take it away, Mark, and tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, sure. You know, it's funny, Justine, because I grew up really shy. And as a little kid, like, I did not have my voice. I felt very shut down. And so it was very odd that I should be called to, like, want to be an actress. So I feel like it was almost a finishing school for me to go into ministry, which is what I ended up doing. But I spent 20 years in Los Angeles, you know, working in television and film and voiceover. And, you know, I got to do singing gigs and things like that. And then I started helping other women find their stories. And I produced a show called Booby Trap, the very brash show in town.
And it was, love it.
And it was about a woman's relationship with her breasts. And it was, you know, we were inundated with the masculine vantage point of what the breasts mean to them. And wonderful, everybody loves breasts, but like what a woman's relationship with her breasts are. And from that experience, because my relationship with my breasts, my relationship with my mother's breasts, I mean, this was like a deep lineage of story that I had not really ever looked at before. My mom died of breast cancer. And so it really, you know, informed my life. And when I started telling my own stories, I was like, I don't know if there's any going back. You know, like I didn't feel the same like fulfillment that I had felt prior to sort of being a voice in other people's projects. And I wanted to just really tell my own stories. And so it was this interesting like catalyst into ministry. And yeah. And at the time I was a licensed spiritual practitioner, you know, I'm still a life coach, a spiritual life coach, but you know, I was like getting licensed as a spiritual practitioner. And so it wasn't like out of the ordinary that I should suddenly like just really want to focus all my attention on using my voice in the spiritual arena. But it was an interesting transition because, you know, that caused me to move to Chicago and really sort of cut my ties with, you know, Hollywood in some ways, whereas most of the voiceover activity happens. But even still, I was able to find outlets for using my voice and helping other people to find their voice. So, yeah, it's a kind of an interesting adventure.
Yes. Well, I think we really connect on that in particular, finding our own voices. And I want you to kind of pull the thread a little bit more because I talk to people a lot who are entering voiceover later in life, which is something that is very much more easily done now than it was when you and I were doing it 20 years ago, when it was LA based or Chicago, or, you know, you needed to live in a city where there was a lot of studios and ad agencies, and that's just not the case anymore. And when people come to me to study or inquire about voiceover, I'm so happy to share that on our webinars and introductory classes that
this work can really be done anywhere, and it provides
yes.
really great things that a lot of us want later in life, which is a lot more freedom and a lot more time. Not that it actually gives you time, but it gives you control, more control over your time. But we have to get past the thing that probably stopped us from doing it in the first place, or being acting or stepping into radio or whatever it was. So what made you aware of the thing that, where you were maybe felt shut down or quieted, you know, children should be heard, not seen.
Yeah,
or seen
you know, I grew up in a family of 8 kids, you know what I mean? It was like, you had to like find the opening. And, yeah, I don't know. I think I was always just sort of naturally shy. And yet I did have this like real desire to perform. And I remember, oh my God, the first time I was on stage, I was so nervous, like in an actual play that wasn't a school play, my like hands were like shaking and the teacup was shaking. And it took me like a week or two of this run of the show before I actually settled down into understanding the connection between the character's emotions and the words that I was saying. I mean, I like kind of learned how to act by being thrown in the deep end of the pool, how most people learn how to swim. And then I went to, you know, American Academy of Dramatic Arts, and I don't know, it was just the continual erosion of my fear, and that I had a, you know, that my voice had a place, you know, in the conversation, in the storytelling, you know, conversation, in the filmmaking conversation. So I think, you know, finding your voice has a lot to do with developing your self-esteem.
I do too. And I always tell people that I truly believe that studying voiceover can give you a confidence that is hard to get in other ways, because you are allowed to shut the camera off and not have any sort of inhibition by your physical appearance, and really get to live out through the voice, which I think transfers so beautifully into other things, as you have noticed and felt and seen. So talk about that a little bit, about that transition.
Sure.
Or maybe some of the early voiceover jobs that you had when you did feel success and you were acting, and then how you transitioned to this other life.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the early voiceover work that I did was doing like voiceover work for for projects that I already worked on. So like for like CSI or NYPD Blue, you know, they'd bring you in to sort of loop a line or whatever. And so that was my first foray into doing voiceovers. And but you know, but always just felt like a super fun thing to be able to do, to connect your words with the image on the screen. And so that's just a different type of voiceover. And then
I'm just going to explain that a little bit more, because I talk about it in my intro class, and it's always people, I always say, does anyone know what looping is? And people usually don't. Mm-hmm. So looping is post-production sound on film and television. Being in a loop group is hard work to get, but the best work in town, because you can work continually on lots of different shows doing the filling in the background noise. So if Maureen and I were in a scene together at a restaurant, we would be mic'd, and then everyone else would have to be silent, and the loop groups come in and fill in all of that. And it's residual paying and real good fun work. But what Maureen's talking about is when you have to loop your own voice, because maybe they didn't pick up a line or something, or maybe they want to change a word, and you go in and there's those inevitable 3 beeps. And it is really fun, because you're in the studio. So you are literally matching up with the lip flaps yourself in that case.
Yeah, it's almost like a strange form of karaoke where you're your own voice, you know?
That's so true.
Yeah, but I always, I know, I have a good ear for it. So I really enjoyed doing it. And, you know, getting into narrating a couple of projects, that was fun. And so those were some of the voiceover activities that I had. I mean, mostly I worked on film. Mm-hmm. So that was the meat, you know, of my experience. Aside from commercials, I did some voiceover stuff for commercials. Mm-hmm. But again, it was mostly me and then just my voiceover over the product. So it wasn't really, you know, I don't know, it's just like fun work. It didn't feel that much different than regular acting for me, because it always took place at the same time.
Right.
So I never really compartmentalized it, and I never really actually sought for just voiceover work, which I think is an amazing niche and industry that is out there. And like you said, super lucrative. Though I will say that when I started to make the shift from being a professional actor to being a professional spiritual life coach, what's interesting is the very first job that I got was working on this prayer line called World Ministry of Prayer, which is one of the oldest prayer lines. And so people would call from all over the world, and they would plug the calls into my house, and I would answer the phone and say, you know, World Ministry of Prayer, you know, what's your name and where are you calling from, and get their information, and then ask what would you have, you know, what would you have me pray for you for? And I do this affirmative prayer, which is like a 5-step prayer. And I remember the first time doing that, like the very first time being trained for it, and then like going in, they're like, you're going to do your first call. And I came out of that so lit. Like my whole body was like, oh, like I don't think I ever left an acting job feeling that way. And it wasn't even like some major thing I was praying for. I was like praying for this woman whose car had broken down and she was upset. And, you know, I kind of fumbled through this first attempt at, you know, at this praying for someone on the phone. But it just felt like, oh my God, this is a way to use my voice. That's really cool. And it has nothing to do, like you said, with my physicality. I don't even have to be any place. I can be wherever I'm at. I mean, I used to hang out in my, you know, my home in California and just like, you know, be hanging in my backyard and get 6 hours of praying for people. And I know it's a little bit off the cuff from the usual voiceover work, but it is just like with a voice over acting job, you know, your intentions and what you're pouring into it and the sincerity and the you know, all of that work that I did as an actor really helped me. And
I think it's how those things can intertwine to really get at our authenticity, because I always truly believe that the things that books jobs, and this was true 20 years ago too, but even more so now than ever, is the relatability and our authenticity, which is one of the reasons that when Such a Voice creates demos for people, we don't just pull scripts that are pre-written. We write the scripts about the things that you are passionate about. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel for your demos. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not still going to have to do that when you work jobs, but it's the same kind of thing. And I like the idea that, and I always explain too, that a job like you had, if you're going the other way and you want to get into voiceover and you've worked customer service or you've done a job that was primarily over the phone where you were just relating to someone with your voice and prayer. I mean, how could you get more intimate? There's not a way to be more intimate over the phone, I don't think. Well, probably there is. I had one of those students once too. Really funny. Well, anyway, we're not going to go there. Are there still 1-900?
Yes, I'm not sure. You've got the wrong call line. Yes, had a few of those too. I'm like, yeah, we're not going to pray for that today.
Yeah, we're not this line. Not this line. Yeah. But so I think there is a really connection, and I'm glad that you made it, because I don't think people realize that if they've had a sales job, if they've had a customer service job, that's actually amazing practice for how we use our voice, because you are listening and trying to get into someone else's story. So how do you think that led you to the next phase of even attracting more voices? And you have an incredible, I don't want to say following, but you have created something quite wonderful, world that you can share a little bit more about.
Yeah, well, it's funny because all of the platforms and communities that I've created and lead all have a tether to the voice. So Speakeasy Spiritual Community is a community that invites people into a non-denominational sort of honoring all paths, a conversation that is just like, let's just talk about spirituality without, you know, killing each other. Is that possible? You know what I mean? Like we can have these tough and tender conversations. So that's,
I just was going to say the two words that always stick with me, and I hear you in my head, is tough and tender. And I just love that because it gives permission to bring a lot of things to the forefront. And you have brought in some incredible people who use their voices on podcasts and authors of books who narrate their books. And I know that you're doing a little bit of the audiobook, entering the audiobook world, or have done that as well.
Yeah.
Just expand a little, just keep talking about how you find the people to come in and how that evolved. Really, how did that evolve?
Yeah, well, if you think about the two words, tough and tender, I mean, they're just both real pillars of truth. So how do you tell your truth, your whole truth, and nothing but your truth without having to apologize or water it down or sugarcoat it? And, you know, in regards to voiceover, yeah, I mean, the market is fat and flush for podcasts and for Audible books. And I did just put my first Audible book out there and hugely excited about the feedback and the success of it. So it's been a real, it's really opened a door for me to the point where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm probably gonna move into, making an Audible of my last book, Giant Love Song.
Now, the book that you just did the narration for, is this your book or someone else's book?
It was my book. It was called Spiritual Vixen's Guide to an Unapologetic Life. And I published it with She Writes Press about 4 years ago. And so it took me a little while to think about, like, I just didn't even think about the Audible. I had a lot on my plate at the time. So it was 4 years later getting to reread my story, having not really read it since I published it. Yeah, and go through the emotions of it and everything.
Yes. Well, I just have to, this is something I didn't know about you, and I didn't know that you published with the She Writes Press, but my aunt, who's going to be on the podcast soon too, because she and I've done two of her books, narrated two of her books. She also is with She Writes Press.
Oh, how funny. Well, yeah.
Second book, and She Writes Press is a very interesting, maybe we should get them on the podcast to talk about how they choose books to publish, because it's a very interesting publishing house, isn't it?
Yeah, they support female authors, and they just have a really wonderful way of supporting and ushering your books and your stories into print. And they do a really wonderful job. So yeah, if you can get them to come on, and if you need a connection with them, I would be more than happy to make it.
Yeah.
So I just did the Audible for the book, and so that was Speakeasy. And that's my Audible books and my writing. And then I have another community called Voice Box, which is an event that takes place once a month with Kathy Richardson, who is a huge voiceover artist. And she's made tons of, you know, money and contracts doing, I mean, in fact, the other night she was doing a show and she started doing some of her jingles and we were laughing so hard. She had the whole, you know, amphitheater laughing hysterically because she did the one for plug it in, plug it in. And she did a couple other ones. And she was talking about, you know, this, it's not really a niche. Like, it actually was the bread and butter of her career. And then she, you know, went on to, she's the lead singer of Jefferson Starship. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a very lucrative business for sure. Definitely for her. So anyway, she and I do a once a month event at this iconic club in the Chicago area called Fitzgerald's, and we get people up on stage to tell their stories. And then between each storyteller, she'll hear the story for the first time without having ever heard it before. And then she'll sing a song based on their story. Yeah, it's
So she'll improvise. She improvises.
Not improvise. She's like a human jukebox. So like if you tell a story about like going out in New York City and like tying one on and like having an awesome time, she might sing like "Girls Just Want to Have Fun." Like she'll find the song.
Okay, I gotcha.
So I know she has this really keen ear, and again, like voiceover, storytelling, it's all about developing your ear. And she has a really keen ear, and she also has like this huge, I call her the human jukebox because she just has the ability to pull up songs that are just on point. So we've been doing that for 10 years now, and it's a really fun way to support storytellers and getting people on stage sometimes for the first time, which is super exciting. I love to work with professional storytellers, but I also love to see the newbies get up there and watch their knees rattle a little bit and get, you know, totally freaked out and get off the stage and say, I want to do that again.
Right. You know? And then people come back and with improved stories or having worked on them, maybe curating them for one person shows or anything of that nature.
Exactly. Sure. They actually, some have moved into writing books, you know, from one story, they had another story and then another story. And then they have, you know, a couple of them have published books, and it's super exciting to see like that little seed just, you know, grew from one good story. Super cool.
Yeah. When you recorded your book, which you did recently, did you learn all the punch and rolls and the, were you recording it with Audacity? What was your process? Or did someone else, did you go to a studio and let someone else handle that
for
you?
I went to a studio.
Lucky you, Maureen.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know I spoke with you about it and then I was like, you know what? I kind of had a deadline because yep. it's going to be the foundation of another project. So I kind of needed it to have it done and to have it done right and well. Yep. And yep. so I knew that this recording studio in Chicago had done this many times before and I could fly in and do it. Here's the interesting thing that happened. I got really sick in the middle of the recording. So my voice changed. And I was like, oh my gosh, how are they gonna make this not sound like, you know, one actor is telling a story in the beginning and then another actor. And he was showing me how they actually have like AI that can take one voice and sort and the other voice and sort of find a middle and smooth them out so that the transition, I mean, it's incredible the technology that they have today.
Yeah, when they're using it for good, it really is. And there's a lot of good, but I know there's a lot of fear in our community, our voiceover community about AI. And I always say we can't stop it. But the truth of the matter is, you know, in the way that this was being used for good in your project, it was by permission, you know, using your voice right. to use to make the parts of your other voice, your sick voice,
right.
you know, work together.
Right.
And I Yeah, anyway, that's a lot of the strike was had some issues around some of this stuff. But the AI is incredible when it's used appropriately. And I think what I tell people who are worried about it is it's still not a human. That now having permission to use a voice like your voice for your project is different in what it can do. But I think the fear is that there's a lot of mechanical voices out there. In fact, I was working on I was going to work on a project that a friend of mine, it was a compilation book. She wanted to do the Audible and they hired a woman and got the project back. This is, and working through ACX, which you must have worked through ACX yes. as well.
Yes.
Which is the platform that Audible uses for audiobooks. And she got the project back and she said, this is AI. It can tell us it's AI. And she tried to break the contract and she couldn't prove it. But I went in and listened because she wanted then to, she's like, would you just do this? And I said, I'll do it. She said, I can only do it if I can break the contract. And she couldn't prove it. But the project is just not good. I mean, you can hear that it's a slightly mechanical voice and it's just mm-hmm. not authentic. So again, back to the authenticity. And so what I like to say is you have to even be better. You have to be better than the AI.
Absolutely.
So can't and skip the know,
yeah. And so, yeah, it's funny because a lot of people had commented on the voice recording. You know, on Audible, they give you three mm-hmm. ways to judge a project. It's like content, overall, and then performance.
Right. That's right.
And so I was so thrilled because I was nervous about the performance just because I hadn't been like on the wagon for a while. And also that I had gotten sick and I was like, I really hope that it doesn't sound like janky or mechanical or whatever. And so many people were like, I love the sweet, like methodic like way that you told the story. It really made me feel safe. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. People can feel the difference. They can feel what a real voice feels like. I mean, there are certain things that you still cannot fake. Thank God.
I know. And I think that's what I want the world to know and listeners to know in terms of any concern that AI is going to steal the work. It can't. And I've talked to major casting people that are in LA still casting even video games concerned. They're like, no way. These projects that are even getting video games are turning into major television series and films. They need actors that can hold the arc of a character. And even when it's just vocal. So what would you say to somebody who wants to have this kind of an experience? And where does fear play in? And how do we take fear along for the ride?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, I'm a big proponent in loving more and more and more and fearing less, you know, like taking fear along for the ride. I mean, yeah, it's what the word that it comes to my mind is courage, you know, like Like you, everyone's going to go through things, but you know, if you have more courage, because, you know, it's scary to put yourself out there, to try new things, to hear your voice. I mean, remember the first time you heard yourself on audio or anywhere, and you're like, who's that voice? Who stole my voice? Like, what is this helium-esque voice
The biggest thing I hear from people, new people to voiceovers, like, but I don't like the sound of my voice, as if that is going to stop them from getting work. And that's just so you're all hearing it from a professional to professionals. We all felt that way one step of the game or another, but you do get used to it because the voice sounds different in between our ears.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, so I just think to keep your eye on the prize will sort of help to, you know, hurdle any fears. I mean, you kind of have to develop a bit of fearlessness when you're putting yourself out there. Yeah. And yeah, sure. I mean, everyone has an opinion. Everyone, like, you know, even once you put yourself out there with the Audible thing, I was like, oh, now people are going to, you know, vote on it, or they're going to leave reviews. And you're always like, oh, you know, I hope people like it. Of course you do. But still, people, you know, it's almost like I felt like when I put my first book out there, not on Audible, but just in paperback, and I got like a review that wasn't like awesome, I was like, okay, I feel it's kind of like validates me a little bit. It's like, you know, it's not just my friends writing reviews, like I'm reaching an audience beyond like people who are just blowing smoke at me. And that's awesome. You know, so you kind of get used to it. I mean, it's part of the gig of being human. It's part of the big gig of being a creator. Like you have to be able to, you know, stand in the center of your work and stand for it. And like I said, everyone's going to have an opinion, but everyone's voice is viable and valued. And we see so much more inclusion and diversity and odd and wonderful and interesting voices. You're not the best judge of your own work. That's what I can say is,
that's true.
Know, stay in the game of enjoying your work and try to enjoy it, because you know, I mean, this is the fun part.
Yeah. One of my favorite things to do is help people find different tone in their voice. We play a game in one of the master classes I teach called Emotional Charades, where we turn off the camera and everyone has to guess what emotion you're doing. And it's just so much fun. And what I have found the most interesting is where emotions that are very dissimilar, have a similar placement in the voice. And how, you know, someone's trying to do sexy and everyone's going grim, confused, you know, it's very funny. And sometimes the placement, particularly for when you think about, like, try to say, I want to go to the store and be a little scary.
Go to the store.
So, or try to say, I want to go to the store and be a little sexy.
I want to go to the store.
Well, I always call this the lower left. I didn't have you go as deep as sometimes I make people do, but it's, you know, I want to go to the store is way down there. And so it's, I want to go to the store. And it's like red rum, you know. Anyway, those are fun games I like to play with people.
Very fun game. Yes, it's a very fun game.
Fun game. What you mentioned, though, about leaving reviews is very important for Audible. So all the voice actors that you know out there, this is for listeners, support them by leaving reviews, because sometimes people leave the author review, but they don't necessarily, now in your case, it's both, but it's important. It's important to get those reviews. So if you're getting them, that's great. And I have a couple books, one just released too, called Street Corner Dreams. That's also published by She Writes Press. And it's important that we get out there and listen to each other. And you sometimes can just go listen to the sample if you're not sure if you want to get the book. But that's a great way to hear voices and hear what's out there.
Yep, that's so true. I've been an Audible fan for forever. And like many people, if the voice isn't going to connect with me, I can't even listen.
Right.
There's, you know, and there's, it's only been a very few times. There's people who are way more particular than me, but yeah, if the voice doesn't, so when the voice does, like, yeah, shoot an arrow of awesomeness towards that person and say, well done, you know?
Yeah. A few stars and a couple words will do a lot for, you know, for everybody. Yeah. Well, how do we keep in touch with you? Maureen does a lot of speaking and a lot of bringing in and welcoming different ideas on spirituality and philosophy and kindness and gratitude. Last year, I believe the whole year was about kindness. Am I right?
Yeah. And this year, the theme is service that sings. So we've got some vocals in there for your vocal friends. Yeah, so you can check out those conversations on Sunday morning at 10:30 on Zoom, and you can go through speakeasyspiritualcommunity.com to find out about all the free classes. We offer free sacred movement every morning for 30 minutes, you know, Monday through Friday, and then we have a ton of Course in Miracles and meditations and all those good stuff to sort of feed your soul. And then for writing and for, you know, coaching, you can go to MaureenMuldoon.com.
Amazing.
And you'll find the Audible books there and the written books all there.
Wonderful. And leave your reviews. And it was great having you and talking. We could keep going, and I can't wait to hear the book and exchange more tough and tender topics and conversations.
Thanks, Justine. It's been such a blast.
Yeah.
Getting to know you and hang out with you. And I look forward to the day when we actually meet in the physical.
Yes, we have still yet to do that. Although I have a feeling we probably did way back in the day. But as usual, everyone out there, if you want to check a webinar out or learn more about voiceover, you can reach out to me at justine@suchavoice.com and also reach out on my Linktree as well. So thank you very much and have a blessed day, and keep using your voice.
If you want to learn more about what it takes to become a working voiceover actor, come to an intro class or schedule a voice evaluation with Justine. You can contact her at justinereese@suchavoice.com. That's justinereese@suchavoice.com. Or check out our website at suchavoice.com. If you like the podcast, subscribe to this channel or leave a review. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.